we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy Friday to you, Brevard County. Sunday is just a couple of days away, and I hope that you are gearing up and ready to gather together with the other saints here in Brevard County and worship the King of Kings. I pray that our worship this weekend would be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. How about you? My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and it is our church's pleasure to spend the next half hour with you here as we go through the Word of God here. We've been spending a lot of time in the book of Isaiah, and we're winding down on that. We're in Isaiah, the 65th chapter. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you need any help with your air conditioning, your heater, or your electric. Now, if you need your heater this time of the year, you really like it warm in your house. So, maybe you just want to get it checked out before the fall and the winter comes along. But whatever you have need of, give them a call. They go all throughout the county. They deal with units of all types and makes and models. And if you've got electrical issues, they can help you out with that as well. They are great people, and I encourage you to give them a call, 321-632-9538. And if you forget that number, you can do what someone did here recently, and that was they called the church and said, I didn't get the phone number of the person that you mentioned, and so could you give that to me? And so I was able to supply that to them and make a phone call on their behalf. And so hopefully they will have their situation remedied and dealt with in a very positive manner. So praise the Lord. So Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and we're having Sunday morning and Sunday evening services that week. And we're going to be praying. We've got our 65th anniversary service coming up in 6 or 7 days, 7 or 8 days, June 10th and June 11th. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is going to do there. We're praying whenever an anniversary comes around. I pray, God, I pray that we're going to celebrate what you've already done, but we pray that what you do through us in the days to come is of greater magnitude and greater effect than what we've done before. And so we're not resting on our laurels. We're just I don't even know a laurel. That was a joke. We are going to we're going to press on and try and make the most of every opportunity that God gives us. So June 10th at 6:30 p.m., June 11th at 10:30 a.m., and we would love to have you come and join us. We're going to get back to the Word of God today, Isaiah the 65th chapter. And this is a great passage of scripture here. Verse number 1 says this: I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will repay, even repay into their bosom. your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sake. That I may not destroy them all, I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, an heir of my mountains. My elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. Okay, and we're gonna stop the reading there at verse number 10. So, I'll just say this, that this passage deals with a couple of concepts that I'd like to call to your attention. The first is there's a phrase that begins to take notice here, and we will talk about the contrast in days to come, but he begins to identify the way that he will deal with his servants. And you and I are called to serve. And that service takes on a different shape for each one of us. Some are in the teaching or the preaching part, and so we serve him in prayer and study. We make sure that there is a presentation in word and in the spirit as well. And so there is that aspect of service. There are others that make sure that the building is cleaned and the yard is taken care of and the facilities are representative of the best that we can make them. I'm not into ornate. I am into function. Now I will tell you this, God is into extravagance, and that might be extravagant worship. That might be extravagant, an extravagant temple. Heaven is going to be an extravagant place. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous. You don't want to miss it for the world or anything that the world has to offer. And so I want to encourage you today that you adopt this mindset of being a servant. And I was in a service recently where a person said there is no Hebrew word for leader. There's word for king, there's word for prophet, there's word for priest, but there is a word for servant. And so you and I, we need to remember that Jesus said, he who would be the greatest in the kingdom must be servant of all. And so don't consider yourself above serving. Don't consider yourself above serving in any capacity. If I told you some of the things that I did that no one even knows about in serving, because here's the reality, that church that you worship in, it doesn't just magically get cleaned. Someone wants to come and say, hey, I want to make sure that this place is clean, that it is well maintained and taken care of. The toilet paper dispensers don't just magically replenish from Sunday to Sunday. There's someone that comes along and said, I want to make sure that when someone needs something, that it is there for them to avail themselves of. And so there's all sorts of service. And I want to remind you, this anniversary service that we've got is not just introspective service, but it is serving our community. And so Jerry Hill has this school of evangelism that is available for a minuscule amount of money. I paid more for the least amount of credit hours you could take in my Bible college than she is offering this course for. The School of Evangelism. And so if you would like to learn how to reach the lost more, I want to encourage you to come. We need more people serving in the gift of evangelism. And when I use the term evangelist, I'm not just talking about an itinerant minister, someone who comes along, but someone who wants to come into the community and go to where people are hurting and share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so there's an entire scope of servant capabilities and needs. And I want to encourage you to have that mindset of being a servant. And like I said, we'll discuss that when we contrast servant dealings with non-servant dealings. But before it gets to the dealings of the servant, it says that as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. So God has always had this desire to function with the intent of leaving a remnant. I was told, I'm, by the way, full disclaimer, I'm not a doctor, nor have I played one on television. So the things that I have to say are just things that I've been told, that the liver, the weightiest organ in the body, the organ that is similar in word structure in the Hebrew to the word glory or the weightiness of God, that it is such a fascinating organ that if there is damage to the liver or if there is disease that affects the liver, that as long as a portion of that remains intact, as long as there is a remnant of healthy liver cells, that liver can regenerate and it can be made whole. And so I like to think that God is still able to do great and mighty things through a remnant. It doesn't take a whole lot of people. It takes a number of people who are willing to operate in the giftings of God. So it's not by strength. It's not by might, not by strength, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And so I want to encourage you today to be part of the remnant. If the whole world decides to turn its back on God, which one day it will, if the whole world decides to fight against God, and one day it will, that you will say, God, I'm going to be a child of God. The Bible says, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? And we can say, I'm going to be part of that remnant. I'm going to be part of that people who are living by faith because God gave me that gift. I'm not surrendering it. I'm not giving it up. I am going to function in the faith that God has given to me. I'm going to be part of that remnant. Verse number 8 again says, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it. I like this concept that you and I may not be able to see all of the potential blessings that God can bring from a person or from a circumstance or a situation. And God says, I'm not going to destroy this. There are people who say, don't destroy this because I know that there is a blessing in it. He said, that's the way that I'm going to treat my servants, that there is a blessing that is about to be released, that is going to be worth all of the pain. It's going to be worth all of the effort that has been put forth. And so today you might be going through some things and you say, God, I don't understand what is going on. I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand what this is working for your glory. And I want to remind you that God blesses and he adds no sorrow to it. And so there's a blessing that is on the way. Can I tell you that some of the most profound blessings that I have experienced in my walk with Jesus have had places along the journey that were some of the most challenging situations to deal with physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually. But now I look back and I see the blessing that God was bringing about in that situation. There was a time I was completely bewildered because I was working for a pastor, and he's still a dear friend to this day. And it wasn't in the state of Florida. It was elsewhere. And he said, you're doing everything exactly the way that I want you to do. You're doing it better than anybody else in the staff. but you have demonstrated that you are going to make sure that your family is taken care of financially because you went out and you supported your family. I was teaching school, and so I was in school 9 months, and then during the 3 months, I went out, I found a job, and I worked, but the intent was, hey, I'm going to go back and I'm going to teach again because I was called to ministry. And he said, but we're not going to be able to keep all of the teachers, and all of these other people are dependent upon us. And you God has provided a way for you to provide for your family. And that was like a blow right between the eyes. I was like, wow, didn't see that coming. And because of the job that propelled me into, it was the job that eventually brought me to Florida that God used to position me where he was going to place me as pastor of Merit Assembly of God. We tend to be very, very short-sighted. We live in a microwave society. And a lot of times, God is into long-term development. Long-term development. And so, if you will realize that God is for you and not against you, that God is a blessing and a blessor, not a agent of cursing in your life. He is there, you know, where in the previous verses it was talking about repaying those who were intentionally living a life of sin. God says, I'm going to treat my servants differently. I'm going to bring blessings to the surface that even they don't know anything at all about. God can take the devil's curse and turn it into a blessing. And I just want to share that with you today. He says, I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah and Aram, my mountains. My elect shall inherit in them, and my servants shall dwell there. Sharon will be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down for my people who have sought me. Now, I want to take you back to the Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7, and there's a man that is, he was memorialized, if you will, for all of the wrong reasons. He chose to be greedy and take what was intended to be God's first fruits. And so in Joshua chapter 7, verse number 22, that man's name was Achan. Let me start reading at verse number 19, because Achan had been exposed. And in verse number 19 said, Now Joshua said to Achan, My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent and with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, daughters, oxen, donkeys, sheep, tent, and all that they had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And the last sentence of chapter 7, it says, Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. And the literal meaning for the word Achor is trouble. Achan's sin had transformed a portion of the promised land into a valley of trouble. And I want you to know, nobody likes to go through trouble. Nobody likes to go through hard times. But God here in Isaiah chapter 65 said that he was going to make that a place that had a different future than the legacy that it had before. the Valley of Achor was no longer going to be a valley of trouble. It was going to be a valley of rest. It was going to be a place of refuge for people who had sought the Lord. And so I want to ask you today, is it okay if God transforms that season in your life that was filled with pain? Maybe it was a season that, like Achan, was a season of sin, and it has brought great challenge into your life. But God says, I want to touch it, and I want to make it a doorway of hope. In fact, if you turn over to the book of Hosea, Hosea is the first minor prophet after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 2, and I'm turning as quickly as I can here. Hosea chapter 2, and it says in verse number 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her, and I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. And so a valley of trouble is, if you and I will choose to walk in obedience to God and say, God, I know there's a blessing here someplace. I know that there is a transformation. It might be trouble now, but it's going to lead to a testimony later. If you will say, God, I want you to touch this valley, I want you to change it, and I want this valley, this resting place, this low spot, to become a doorway. I want it to be a doorway of hope, a doorway of confidence in you, a doorway of blessing, a doorway where I'm not complaining because of the trouble I'm experiencing, but I'm worshiping because my God is in the valley with me, and he is making it a place where I walk in confidence with his ability and his provision and his blessing, knowing that even though I don't know what's going on, he's going to cause a secret blessing that only he knows about to come out of this. You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to throw a surprise party for someone? I used to be very difficult to surprise. My father's the same way. I'll never forget that my mother, one Christmas, bought him a pair of cowboy boots, and she put it in a box that was about the size of a washing machine. It was just, or maybe a dishwasher, not a washing machine, but a dishwasher, just a really large box. And my dad said, did you get me a pair of boots? He just expected that. But I will tell you, since about 2011, I've been surprised by my family more times than I probably can remember happening before that. They surprised me with a trip to Lambeau Field to watch the Packers play, and then the Packers went on and won the Super Bowl after that. And I do take credit for that because they haven't won the Super Bowl since then. Just kidding. But they did go on a winning streak that lasted all the way till the next December. But there was a surprise there. They surprised me one year with a gift for Father's Day that just blew my mind and surprised us over and over and over again. And they don't like watching television shows and movies with me because I will start saying lines to the movies before the actor says them, and you say, well, so you can quote movie lines. Yeah, but I haven't watched them before. and they said, are you kidding me? You know, but I tell you, I've discovered that when you don't have to figure everything out and you say, God, you've got a surprise blessing in this. I don't have to understand. I get to enjoy the journey. I get to enjoy the journey. So there's a lot to be said. And so I pray that you will spend some time in this passage, because the last part of verse number 10 says, for my people who have sought me. God's servants are going to be people of prayer. You can't get away from it. It is an inescapable conclusion in the Word of God that God values people who pray and seek His face and draw near to Him. And so I want to encourage you to do that, that you adopt the mindset of a servant instead of a consumer. It really is disheartening when Christians operate as consumers instead of as servants. I guess I have trouble relating to that because I have never been of that persuasion. See, every ministry position that I ever went to, and never one time did I ever ask what the compensation package was. Because I know this, God said He's going to take care of me. He's going to make sure that our needs are met. And there's been some challenging seasons there, but I can tell you, well, let me put it this way. There was a time where ministry was very, very difficult. We were going through a season at the church that I did not understand. I didn't ask for, and it was a very challenging season to go through, and to the point that I said, God, I don't know how much longer I can do this. He said, and I don't advise this. I really don't. And I could tell you about that another time, but I said, God, I'm going to give you one more year to turn this situation around. And then I got to go do something else. And since then, I've changed that mindset. God's the commander in chief, not me. But God did turn the situation around. We saw growth. We saw financial increase, and it was miraculous. And we saw spiritual things that took place that I've never seen before or since. And I can tell you this, if I had removed myself from that situation instead of saying, God, you placed me here and I'm staying, that's my mindset now, God, you've placed me here, I would have missed some of the greatest blessings. Allow God to transform your valley of trouble into a doorway of hope, and don't use it as a place to commiserate and moan and groan and complain, but instead, I encourage you, sing His praises. Worship Him even in the valley where you don't understand what's going on. God's going to bring out a blessing out of this situation that you could never have imagined before. He is still able to do exceeding abundantly above everything we can ask or think or imagine. You have a great weekend this weekend. We would love to have you come and check out what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God and worship Him with us. Have a great great weekend, and we will catch you Monday right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To be a man for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.